My thoughts today arise from the questions, what is sacred ground and what makes it sustainable? Now, holding on to my sacred ground and the deep quiet that often is part of it has been a challenge for me in the last couple of weeks. As you can imagine, with the small smiles and chuckles with the ordination, there's a lot of details, lots of work to do, and I won't bore you with all of that. And my journey to this place, this time, has been long and not in a straight line. And it's the culmination of a lot of commitment. So the commitment to arrive here today of my own and the commitment of this community to recognize me and the commitment to make all the sandwiches and all the art that you see around you. You can only have one ordination in your life. Other things you can do more than once, but apparently there's only one time for an ordination. The weeks have been filled with coordinating information and guests and people and food and parking and, oh, a few family dramas perhaps, and managing a whole lot of expectations. And I would like to take a moment before I plunge into other things to deeply, deeply thank you all from the bottom of my heart for the commitment, the creativity, the passion that has gone into preparing for today. To David, from David to Joan and Anita and Donna for her beautiful hanging, with Marilke and Sally and all for the gorgeous screens. And as I said before, these are now part of our Sunday mornings. And then there's Laura and John and Nancy and Carol and Sally and Tom and Terry and Jane and pretty well every other person who's sitting here today who, if you haven't done something yet, you will be in the next few hours. Thank you for turning this ordination into a beautiful and heartfelt and, I think, very classy affair. So, yes, it's been a big deal getting here. But this week, it hasn't been a week of excitement. People kept saying to me, are you excited? And I'm going, well, I don't think I would use the word excitement, joyful anticipation. I'm definitely looking forward to this afternoon in a huge way. But this last few weeks have been really difficult for me. Unexpectedly so. I fell into a deep despair in the last couple of weeks. A deep despair about our world. Between the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that was brought out by the UN a while ago, last week, that says humans are largely responsible for the global warming, that we are mainly responsible for burning those fossil fuels and cutting down the trees that's changing our environment, and that it's getting worse and that it poses a serious threat to humanity. Nothing new, we knew it, but another report came out about that. And then there were the terrorist attacks in Nairobi and Pakistan and Nigeria. The irrationality of the American version of democracy and the arrogant version of democracy in Canada. It's not been a particularly different week from any other week, but it really hit me hard. And it sent me off balance. And I felt like we were living in a mad, mad, mad world. Mad in the sense of suffering from a disorder of the mind, of being off kilter and off balance. It felt to me that to be human and to be alive in this world at this particular moment in time meant that we were living in a society that is so disconnected from itself, disconnected from its core, from its own grounding. This past week, I felt myself falling into this pain of all the people who are living lives that are disconnected from anything that I hold as real. You know, my values, my cultural framework, my vision of the future, those principles that we as Unitarian Universalists hold up, the inherent worth and dignity of every person, justice and equity and compassion, the interdependent web of existence of which we are a part. Listening to and reading the news this past week, my mind just couldn't help asking the questions, like, how can people kill other people and be not disconnected from their humanity? How can we deny that our energy-hungry lifestyles are not connected to climate change? And I felt so completely at a loss to stop the wrongness of it all. Now, I don't usually lose my grounding. I'm usually pretty balanced in my life. I have a very solid faith in the powers of nature and in the movements of the universe. But this week, I lost that boundary, that bottom. But out of that missing bottom and my falling, I started to ask questions. If I live in an utterly mad, mad, mad world, how do I regain my balance? How do I find my source, my strength, that light of hope, and what sustains my sacred ground? So what I painfully discovered was that for me to live truly in this mad, mad, mad world, I actually had to feel the suffering. I had to feel that pain. And yes, you know, it was difficult, it hurt, it was really hard to endure at times. But for me, the alternative was to live in a frozen state of denial. And that is a form of craziness that I cannot maintain for long, or I lose my connection to my heart and my body, and I become part of the madness. So this was my discovery, my re-remembering, that I must not shrink from embracing my truthful experience, even when it's painful. For me to be part of this world, I bravely have to see and feel what I'm calling the madness of the world. And by doing so, by going into it and feeling it, I move through it also, and I regain my grounding. I reconnect to my open heart. I had to stop pretending that it wasn't bothering me. And I had to speak it out loud to friends, people who were willing to hear me, people that I trusted. And what I found there was that there was an integrity in that pain. And I talked about integrity a couple of weeks ago. Now, not that the pain magically goes away. This is no, you know, magic pill here. It's a process. Because the pain, for me, of being in this world is real. For me, there's a lot of suffering. But by going into it and through the pain, I discovered a way back to hope. I discovered a way back to my ground. You know, thinking back, I think that cracking for me started a couple of weeks ago. I think I was inspired by the bravery and the commitment and the vision of the First Nations people who, through the truth and reconciliation process, faced the reality of their lives, their history, and their future, risked the exposure of their own pain, that the healing might begin, that all of us might take a step towards living from truth with integrity. That was their gift to me, that process. And I am hugely grateful for their courage and their commitment to heal their community and thereby heal our whole Canadian community. Telling our stories, listening, feeling, healing, coming back into right relationship with ourselves and the world, coming back into a reality that is based on what I think is real, truth, honesty, compassion, understanding, fairness, justice. This is what sustains my holy, sacred ground. When I finally got through some of that pain, I finally started to hear these incredible stories in the news, in magazines, and in a world around me. Amazing people working towards sanity and restoration of freedom and justice and beauty. Amazing people making courageous decisions. Like, there's a group of journalists who had just published the first newspaper in 12 years in Eritrea. I heard it on CBC radio. They were talking to a woman who was speaking from England because, of course, it was way too dangerous there to speak out loud about what they were doing. But for 12 years, there had been no freedom to communicate. And this group of people got together and they said, we need to start a conversation in our country. We need to start communicating again with each other as a country, not just another person. And they're risking their lives to have that conversation. What an amazing vision and what an amazing commitment. And there was a story in a magazine of a teenager in Nanaimo who had endured a cascade of life changes, challenges, from breast cancer to bullying and a dozen things in between. And she decided to fight back against this cruelty and callousness. And she launched a nonprofit organization aimed at combating poverty and hunger in her own town. Her group she called Stand Up. It's called Stand Up, Stand Together, and Stand Strong. One person. Amazing vision and commitment. Next week, right here, our speakers are going to be from the Suzuki Elders. These wise people who face the challenges, face right on those challenges of climate change every day and have discovered how to sustain their sacred ground in order to continue to do the important work of educating the rest of us on how to cope with and engage the challenges of climate change. Hearing the stories of these people and other people who are committed to living in a world in a better way sustains my sacred ground. And we do this for each other. First, we share our pain. If we have any, we share our truth, whatever it is, that we may heal. And then we share our stories of moving our world towards a place of justice and hope and health and wholeness. So what I have described this morning, this process of entering the pain and despair and speaking my truth to those who can hear it and hold it with love, this is ministry. This is my ministry. It's what I'm called to do, called to speak. My ministry is to share with you the wisdoms that I have learnt, or that I am learning on this path. I don't have answers. I'm just on the path with the rest of you. The wisdom of my experience this week is to trust that unfolding process of life and to be brave enough to stay with it and brave enough not to hide out in being numb or alone or hiding from my own truth, This week I remembered again that life is a creative process, a gradual, sometimes rapid process of living into a deeper truth that is both personal and perhaps universal. Now, I can't save the world. That's not part of my ministry. But I can be present with you. And I can hear your heart's words, your hopes, your courageous choices. Just as you can be present with your friends and your family and perhaps even a stranger or two and offer to them your courage, your strength, or simply your attention. I think ultimately, I hope ultimately, we are all moving in the same direction. And this too is what sustains my sacred ground. I'd ask that we each right now, I'm going to add in a little extra meditation here, because I want you to take what you've got right now, whatever is happening, whatever thoughts are in your head, whatever movements are in your heart, whatever energy is in your body that is somehow connected to what you feel and know is what sustains your sacred ground. And I want us to take our collective energies and thoughts, and I want us to send it down through the floor here and place it underneath this building. I want to make this building a sacred building today. Our hopes, our dreams, what we stand for, what we wish to live into, and humbly place it in the foundations of this building. And if you can imagine yours meeting with the other energies and thoughts and hopes and dreams, creating a huge light underneath this building. A foundation of integrity. A commitment to truth. And then in your mind's eye, if you would feel and see that the light from all of that begins to move up through the building. Our collective light. Moving up through the building, encircling this building. Perhaps even above the building, a beacon of light. May it be so.